Again, it's good to be back with all of you today. I don't know if I've had this particular Mass. I know I was saying at St. Joe's, I hadn't yet. I had done a number of weekday Masses over the last several months at St. Joe's, but I hadn't done a Sunday one there. And I think I maybe did the 10 here before and the 5, but I'm not sure I had this one. So it's good to be back with all of you and perhaps here with you for the first time at this noon Mass. And I realized too that Father Brian and Father Chaz have been doing something of a series of homilies, so I'm not entirely privy to what they've been doing. Father Chaz gave me a little bit of a summary, so if it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, forgive me, but this will be largely original. We had in last week's Gospel, as we have today, one of these scenes where the Pharisees are trying to corner the Lord, in a sense. They're trying to entrap him. They're trying to get him to say something they can finally accuse him and take him to task for. Last week, of course, it was that question as to whether they ought to pay the census tax. Of course, the pickle that they put our Lord in that situation was that, well, yeah, I suppose if he says too straightforwardly that they ought to, it might seem like he's being too deferential to the empire and not respectful enough of people's religious obligations. But then on the other hand, if he says they ought not to, it might seem like he's trying to incite rebellion or insurrection. But they were ready, they were poised to get him regardless of what he said. And again, we've got a similar sort of situation today. Which commandment, teacher, in the law is the greatest? And of course, the Lord gives them the kind of response that would have been drilled into pious Jewish children from a young age, that teaching from the book of Deuteronomy, the Shema Israel, as it's called. They were to remember, their parents were to tell them over and over that the Lord is God. He alone, God is one, and he is the one, the Lord, whom you are to love and worship with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is the first thing that you are to remember, that you are to keep in your heart and in your life. And so the Lord tells them that. And then, of course, followed by the second, the next great commandment, that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. And I was thinking of this week's Gospel in conjunction with last week's. You know, there's a kind of familiar or easy gloss we give on last week's, where Jesus' response to those questioning him was that we ought to render to Caesar what is Caesar's and render to God what is God's. There's a kind of easy gloss we give on that Gospel where we think the Lord's telling us about how we ought to behave civically, how we ought to tend to our political responsibilities. We ought to, in a sense, give to Caesar, give to the state what is its due, and also to give to God what is his. But I think there's a kind of easy way we might misread that or miss its significance. We might think of it as mainly telling us about what we owe as good citizens politically, civically. But I think in a certain way the Lord's trying to emphasize the other bit to us all the more. We do have certain duties, we do have certain basic commitments as responsible and healthy citizens, but so much more. We have a commitment to God. Caesar is due certain things, but so much more, the Lord is due everything. We owe God all that we have. He is the source of life and all good things. So yes, we ought to pay our responsibilities to the state, to the civil authorities, but so much more ought we to pay our responsibilities to the Lord. And again, that's what the first and second commandments that he draws our attention to today bring out so centrally. The Lord is God. He is the one who is worthy of our honor and our praise. And something is drawn out, too, in the way these commandments are conjoined. And I think there's a great wisdom here to our Christian faith, and it's also brought out in the Jewish faith that preceded it. Our love for God can never just be something we have, in a sense, in principle. It can't just, as it were, be at the level of ideas. It can't just, in a way, be in our hearts. It always has to be shown and to be expressed concretely in our lives. There's that great passage in one of St. John's epistles where it says that any man who claims to love God but hates his brother is a liar. In a certain sense, those two things are simply not compatible. And we think also of that famous passage in St. James' epistle, which was the kind of locus for all the classic debates between the Protestant reformers and the Catholic Church. James tells us that faith without works is dead. Our faith always has to be accompanied by works of love, done from charity. We even prayed in the opening prayer today, Lord, increase our faith, hope, and charity. Let us believe in you more so that we might show that belief in deeds of love, done from hearts inflamed by your love. Again, I was thinking of all this, these two gospel texts, the one we had this week and the one we had last week, in conjunction, of course, with the fact that we're being asked to cast votes, to exercise our civic responsibilities in 9 days now, I think it is, if I check the counter correctly this morning. And I know Father Chaz and Father Brian have been talking a bit about Catholic social doctrine. And of course, I think they've mentioned, but the church really gives us those four key pillars that we are to think about when we participate civically, when we engage our political responsibilities as Catholics. Those four pillars that are meant really to shape how that engagement happens, how our outlook is on matters civic and political. And those are, again, forgive me if they've been talking about them a good bit themselves, but a respect for human life from conception until natural death, and for its inherent dignity, a care for the common good, that is to say, in a certain way, not thinking of ourselves as isolated agents, but as people who are bound up in this work together. And with that care for the common good, of course, comes that concern for solidarity, that I see myself as a neighbor to those around me, that I see those with me on this journey as brothers and sisters, and then I'm working to foster and solidify those bonds. And then also that concern for subsidiarity, that things that can be done more locally not be taken to a higher or a greater level. But the church gives us those principles, brothers and sisters, not mainly to sort of strong-arm us into voting this way or that, but they're meant to shape how we think about ourselves and our life in society with each other. And they're meant to be a kind of embodiment and extension of the fact that our faith truly does touch and reach to all areas of our lives. And that, of course, flows from the fact that the Lord took on our humanity. He took on our nature, whole and entire, in all things, Scripture tells us, but sin. And so our lives as disciples, our life of grace as Christians, is meant to be touched in all its dimensions by Christ, by the good news of the gospel, by his message and his witness to us. How we think about politics, how we think about sex, marriage, and family, how we think about the economy, how we think about life and death, how we think about interpersonal relationships, all this is meant to be colored and touched and shaped by the example of Jesus that's been handed on to us through the church. So I submit that we have a good period, a good window of time here as an election draws close to think about that, specifically with regard to the political. Do I see things? Do I allow my outlook to be shaped by Jesus and his witness and his message and the way that's been carried on in the church? Or do I simply let the kind of categories of our day shape how I think about things? Can I allow Jesus' message and teaching to affect more deeply how I think about our corporate and social lives? But again, going back to last week's gospel, I think we have an even greater opportunity as we're thinking about these things. We ought to let Jesus' witness and message affect how we think about the political. But as we do that, we ought to be thinking too, all the more, about whether we're giving our lives over more fully to the Lord, whether with the help of his grace, we are coming more and more to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength in all that we do, and whether we're coming to show that concretely in our love for our neighbor, in the way that we give, in the way that we support others through prayer, through kind words, through works of mercy, in the way that we reach out and share our faith with those who are in need. And so we ask the Lord this day, as we always do, as we come to partake of the Eucharist, to renew us, to inflame the fire, to enkindle anew the fire of his love in our hearts, so that we might love him more deeply with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and show that love concretely, that we might manifest it in our political lives, in our relationships with our neighbor, for his praise and his glory.